Thank you, guys. You're kind. Oh, go ahead, sit down. Let's roll. Oh, wow. 10:48. My biggest challenge is Sunday mornings when you got several services, because my heart's going and the clock's right there. I'm like, Jesus, but we're going to do good. Hey, this was amazing this morning. You guys are really alive. I told him this morning at 8 o'clock, I said, I never came to an 8 o'clock service probably in all my travels. That's early service, 8 o'clock. And the people were alive. So I figured to 10 o'clock would be really alive, and you guys were alive. This was fun. We're jumping around. Who knows, it was fun this morning. Just celebrating Jesus and just believing Him. So I shared this morning some things. I don't know. We could have probably just taped it and played it. I could have said, I could have just sat and watched. And, but I probably won't repeat that thing exactly this morning, because it really poured out of me. But Sunday morning, there's a gathering of ourselves together. What we're saying is, now we have visitors, we have people, I understand that. But there's a core of us here that are supposed to understand why we're here. And that we're here to stir ourselves up in love and good works. And that there's a great marriage between coming and going. If your coming isn't to empower your going, we're going to miss the point and become traditional. And we'll just do church and we'll just love Destiny and think Pastor Greg and Bobby are cool. And even though they are, there's a way deeper point. Jesus said, as you go, He expects us to come and not forsake ourselves, to assemble together in order that we might stir ourselves up in love and good works. And as you go, yeah? So there's a tremendous marriage. One of the biggest traps of a local pastor is just trying to come up with ways and scheme and have board meetings to come up with ways to be more attractive and do better church. But if you don't have a bigger vision, you're running the risk of doing church instead of becoming her. The whole goal of leadership is to empower you to live your life in Christ as you go. To live your life in Christ on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at work, in the marketplace, to be at the gas pump and actually be not self-conscious, overrun by circumstances, and still feeling because of the rift you just had with your spouse. You say, well, yeah, but brother, you got to keep it real. I mean, those things happen. Well, they don't have to happen. They happen by choice. Come on, we can live transformed. We can walk in love. We can live by the Spirit. We can live the Word of God. Yeah? And we can be responsible for our own heart and our own responses. I don't have to retaliate. It takes two to do this. It takes one to pursue peace. And in Christ, one is a majority. Because if you're walking in a rift from your spouse at the gas pump and you're caught up in that, you don't even see anybody else around you. You don't even see anybody pumping gas. And it just becomes normal life. You're getting gas, they're minding their own business, you're minding your own business. No, we're living Christ. There's people there. You know, it's okay to just look at somebody and say, hey, how you doing? You don't have to minister something dynamic. You don't have to know their age and their social security number and be spooky. You can just be kind. And you'll be amazed that when you're kind, God will speak to your heart, and all of a sudden you'll know something about somebody. I can't tell you how many times I was at a place like that, a situation like that, and I just say, hey, man, how you doing today? Hey, man, it's good and doing good, except for these prices. These pumps are killing me, man. Well, listen, don't fall over dead on me, all right? And, you know, you're just laughing, you're talking, and you say, listen, what's going on? Is there something going on in your hip on the right side? Like, what the blank? What are you, who are you? No, it's fun, good, cool stuff. You say, well, I don't have that kind of gift in your life. Everybody has love. Everybody can walk in love. Everybody can make contact. Everybody can be kind. Everybody can be kind, and everything that God is flows through the wellspring of love. If you're just trying to be gifted, you might miss love. If you get love, you'll be gifted. Come on. Because we just make it a gift. No, it's all about love. The goal of our instruction, 1 Timothy 1:5. I read the book. Nobody's going to talk me out of it. I'm convinced. My brain's washed. I'm not up for argument, debate. I'm not going to sit over coffee because I don't drink it. Could you imagine me on coffee? That would be scary. I don't drink it. I just don't drink it. But I'm not going to sit over coffee and debate scripture. I'm not going to get all caught up in a theological debate. You believe, I believe. No, I'm going to live Christ, manifest Christ. I'm going to be at the gas pump and watch God move. I'm going to tap on a little girl's window when she's at her car and she's got her window down this much and she's scared and smoke's pouring out her window because she's smoking a cigarette. I said, hey, honey, I noticed you're really hobbling. You're really limping. What's going on? She said, you're really nosy, aren't you? I said, no, not at all. I'm a man of God. I love you and care about you and believe Jesus wants to hear you. She put out her cigarette and started to cry. Why? Because she's living with conviction and she's running from God and she knows more in her heart than her life is showing. And she's sarcastic with me and she's defensive and protective, and I understand today's society, but she's actually living in the shell. And who knows, I'm not one bit fazed by her reaction. Because I'm not there for me. She can't reject me. She can't blow me off. She can't hurt me, discourage me, or tone me down. She could yell at me, shoot a middle finger, and scream out and pull out and burn her tires. I haven't lost anything except the honor of loving her. Hello? And right when that happened and she put her cigarette out, the Lord showed me what was going on in her body. And I shared it, and she was overwhelmed. Now her window comes down. And I go in. And when I go in, he goes in. And I lay hands on her and she sobs and cries and Jesus touches her in the parking lot. It's just fun. We can make contact. We can just get outside ourselves. We can tap the window. But if you're not living in fellowship with God, if you're not communing with him, if you're carrying issues and you're caught up with your supervisor, your boss, and the story of life and how your spouse is and where your child, and all of a sudden you're so bottled up, you don't even see anything around you because you're just trying to get through the moment. I honestly have all those things on that list happening off and on it all the time like everybody does. They're never dominant. They happen. They never dominant. They don't decide who I am and how I am. I have to walk through them in Christ. If I get pressured in life, my response is, what does Christ look like in the pressure? It's not how am I going to get by. It's what does Christ look like in the pressure? Are you with me? So we're not living for perfect circumstances. We're living for Christ. We're living in Christ. Christ is living through us. So it's not that things won't go wrong. It's not that somebody won't do you wrong. It's that you never live done wrong. You have to live done right. Because you've been done right. And you're going to let what one person did trump what one person did? You're going to let what one person said triumph over what one person said? Not today, friend. Tomorrow's not an option either. I'm just not going to sell that cheap. I'm not going to live that shallow and be that frail. I'm not just going to make it all about me and my degenerate feelings. I'm going to get new feelings. I'm going to get feelings that are selfless, that seek the well-being, like we talked this morning, of others and not just my own. And not just my thing and what's going on with me. Come on, today is not another sequel of my saga and my journey in life. Today is an honor, a privilege, and a gift to manifest Christ. I'm not trying to get by. I've already won. I've already won. My heart's fulfilled. We've already won. You can't lose now unless you draw back and stop believing. You just can't lose. What are you going to do to me now? My life's sealed for eternity in Christ. He promised me that when I stand before him, he'll receive me as a son because he washed me in his blood and he removed all sin. He sees me righteous, holy, blameless, and without reproach in his sight. That's what the word of God says, and I believe it. It gives me confidence. I'm not ashamed. I'm not guilty. I don't live in regrets. It doesn't matter that my dad was an alcoholic. It doesn't matter that my mom was sick 40 years and died. It just doesn't matter that my brother fell over dead last year. I mean, it matters in the certain sense of I miss them. I can't see them if they're gone. But it doesn't matter in the sense of who I am, what I'm here for, and what I'm going to live. When I say it doesn't matter, what I mean is it should never dominate my life and dictate my motives. That is not my story. My story is Christ raised from the dead, him making me brand new, taking away my past and giving me a present and a future. And nothing shall separate me from the love that God has for me. That's my identity. That's your identity. Whether you wear it, whether you believe it or not, that's who you're created to be. That's what you're called to be. I'm honored. I was happy these young folks were here. I leaned over to Bobby. I said, now who's this? Is this like youth group? She said, it's a junior high. I'm just glad you guys are here. You all know when you're young, everything's vying for your time, your attention, your identity. We're all from little up, from the time you can remember, you needed noticed, you needed attention, you needed affection, you needed support, you needed somebody to reveal to you that you were something. We all went through this. Insecurity was rampant. Most people don't have a good view of themselves because of the impression of others, because the people we're looking to get it from don't have anything to give because they're in the same dilemma. And we're constantly trying to drink from cups that are dry because we're thirsty. Jesus has a better answer than trying to drink from a bunch of dried cups. He says, ask of me and I'll give you a drink. Just one drink. That means who he is. He will give us who he is and what he accomplished. He said, and if I drink that one drink, I will never thirst again. You see my passion? Do you hear the intensity in my heart? It's not a put on. It's not something I ramp up for. I don't go back and, oh man, this is tough. Three services, brother. I gotta ramp up and okay. Hey guys, that's weird. You know why you see me the way you see me? I'm not thirsty. I'm not angry. I'm not offended. I'm not regretful. I'm not living in the past. I'm not hurt by my dad being an alcoholic and not loving me. I'm blessed and fulfilled that God sent his son and put him on a cross to show me who I really am. And when my own family didn't have the capacity to show me who I was, God had an answer. So I'm not mad at my family. They didn't have the answer. He doesn't have the water to give me. Why would I hold him responsible? Why would I identify my value through my family heritage and say, well, because he didn't value me, I'm not valuable. No, I am valuable because Jesus hung on a cross and died once for all, and all happens to be me. Yeah. You know what's wrong with me? I'm not thirsty. I'm not ever going to be thirsty again, meaning lacking. Oh, I'm hungry and thirsty for the Lord, but I'm not thirsty in life. That vacuum, that lost identity, that trying to find who we are and where we fit and where we belong, getting caught up in the shallowness sometimes of social media, just trying to get one of these. But you run the risk of getting one of these. And because you're not established when you get one of these, you don't even know how to handle it. Here's the raw reality. I can come in this room and preach one message, boom, and know what I mean and say it from my heart and get 10 different interpretations and 20 different responses. Because it's all about the heart of man. And it's all about the condition of the heart. And it's not even necessarily that one's right and one's wrong. The trouble is that everybody believes they're right. So then their opinion matters more. And sometimes you can't even hear clear because you're, all the things it's coming through. And sometimes you listen not to hear, but to hear what you don't agree with. And then that decides what you hear. And Jesus said, be careful how you hear. And he said, he who has ears to hear. See, not everybody has ears to hear. People have a lot of screens and things set up. They're not trying to hear. So they hear what's not being said. And then they say, he said this when he didn't say that. And then they write 3 pages on what he didn't say. You know it's true because Jesus wasn't just preaching truth. He was the truth. And he preached for years and they killed him for his words. That's sobering. That the fall of man made man so arrogant, so proud that he could listen to truth himself and decide that he was lying. And be so right that he'd take it in his hands to kill him for what he said. Whew! God forbid we live in that kind of pride. Well, you know, it ain't like that. Well, he's all worked up just because, well, it ain't like that. He's just pulling for your emotions. He's just trying to And next thing you know, the highest faith you have is to leave a partner. Well, what do you think? Well, I think he don't need to be all that. Oh, it happens to people all the time. And then they post their feelings and they post their opinions and create debate instead of love. Paul said, don't be wise in your own opinion. And we've created a platform for every man's opinion. And Christians live there. Christians live there in the midst of everybody's opinion and get caught up in the debate. Instead of just take a walk and go love somebody in the park. Just go take a walk. Just get off of that thing and go get out and look somebody in the eye. Just hug somebody. Just pay for somebody's groceries. Just go love somebody. Just shut it all down and just as you go. Just take a walk. I was getting my car inspected. They told me it would be done at such a time if I bring it in. So I took it in because I didn't want to have to drop it off if I couldn't because of schedule and some things. And then when I got there, they said, we're really sorry. But man, it's going to take at least an hour longer than we said because we had something we didn't realize. If you want to come back, we're so sorry. We can this, we can that. And you know how some people are, well, then you're going to have to give me a discount. And I hope this part's free. And I said, no, I get it, man. Business, it's hectic stuff. Listen, what's the deal? So how long is it going to be? He said, it could be as long as an hour and a half extra. And I said, okay. And I'm thinking. And the Lord said, it's cool. Leave it here. Take a walk. Go love somebody. That sure beats, oh my gosh, these people, they told me this. Now it's another hour and a half. God, why are you doing this to me? How come the devil's messing with my day? Well, I've been around us for 27 years. I've heard it all. And we're so self-focused, we don't even realize it because we so think that mentality is normal. And we sing it's all about him, but we reveal through all that language it's all about me. And it's all about him taking care of me and making sure this stuff doesn't happen. And if it does happen, what did I do wrong? What's he trying to teach me? Why is he letting the devil? What is happening? And now we're moved by life instead of the giver of it. So I went and took a walk. And I'm not being arrogant. I'm not embellishing right now. I could probably talk to you for 3 straight hours and tell you details of testimonies from an hour and a half walk that were mind-boggling fun. From a guy that was so mad at me when I mentioned Jesus loved him on the porch. So what's your name, buddy? He said, Frank. I said, hey, I want to let you know Jesus really loves you, man. No, we don't. And da 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 da. And he just, like, and I was like, whoa. I said, are you serious? You don't believe he loves you? No. And he just let me have it. And I said, well, listen. I said, you're just judging him for everything that goes wrong. I said, when that doctor told you about your heart 3 days ago, that was just another mark against God. But he just sent me here to tell you he didn't do that to your heart, but he can fix your heart if you'd stop making him the enemy and he'd love you to come home. That man trembled and cried and couldn't even breathe because the Spirit of the Lord was right there. Because there ain't no way I can know that 3 days ago the doctor told him that. And there ain't no way I can know that he processed it that way and judged God one more time. So God just sent me there to say, he loves you. And he'll rah, 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 rah. Rah, rah, rah. See, I don't have issues anymore. I'm so happy. Some people get frustrated by that because they have a life subscription. Get rid of your life subscription to issues. So then when somebody has joy, we have to talk around it. Well, there's no way it can be that joyful. Yeah, I'd like to see him about mid-Thursday. You know what people did in our church when I got saved and went to church? I got saved and went to church thinking everybody at church was saved. Did I say something wrong? People would come to my children behind the scenes. Hey, what's your dad really like at home? I mean, it was twisted up, messed up, but my kids didn't have any other answers, so. But they'd be like, so does he ever like yell at you, get mad? Does he get frustrated? Do you ever hear him yelling at your mom? They would say that to my little children, 10 and 5, because they were trying to justify their lives, because all their lives were their questions.
And if they could get a yes from my kids, they wouldn't be convicted by their lives. But see, you shouldn't use my life to be your conviction. You should use his. So if you're comparing yourselves among yourselves, you're not wise, Paul said. I'm not following you, I'm following him. Yeah. Ooh, this is good, man. I preach good in your house, man. Somebody be like, was that prideful? No, just confidence. I can tell. It's clear. You can live by this stuff, see? You can apply this stuff. I'm not preaching anything we can't apply if we're willing. Oh, you can continue to not believe. You can make an excuse. You can justify away your life if you want. You can come up with an alibi for not looking like Christ in the moment. But it'll be all wrapped around natural wisdom and using human reasoning in the way that seemeth right to a man. But it don't measure up with Jesus. Jesus ain't giving up on nobody. He ain't changed his mind. He didn't put down the cross and fail to get on it. He didn't drop the cross and say, I had enough. If they didn't change by now, they ain't never changing. I ain't dying for none of these people. I feed their hungry. I cleanse their lepers. My goodness, I raise their dead. And they want to release Barabbas, who killed a man, and kill me for healing a man and raising a man from the dead. These people are idiots, and I ain't dying on no stupid cross for no stupid people. And if he'd have said that, we couldn't argue. In fact, we'd all understand. But he can't say that. Why? Because he's the Lord? Because he's Jesus? He can't say it because he's love. So love doesn't even know the language we were trained by. So we ought to get renewed in the spirit of our mind. We ought to put off the old and put on the new. We ought to get born again, and instead of prayer to go to heaven, we ought to get born again. We ought to put on Christ. And even if nobody in our house of six even wants to believe in Christ, you can. Or you can make the other six your reason for not believing. And when you stand before the Lord, you'll find your reason was deception. Are we all right?
Yeah.
I didn't have much time, so I have to get intense. I gotta bring it. I got one little crack this morning to stir you in love and good works. And you can tell I'm stirred. See, I ain't thirsty. I told him this morning, I said, you know what's wrong with me? I'm a believer. I just believe the gospel. I believe every day's a gift, not a grind. I ain't trying to get through life. Life's in me. I'm not praying for good circumstances. Never even thought about it. Never even prayed in 27 years for my day to go a certain way. Never even thought about it. I just want Jesus to show up in the middle of my day. So I thought about what he looks like in me and him coming out of me in the moment. So when you get squeezed, Jesus comes out and you ain't trying. You ain't trying to apply scripture in the moment. You ain't trying to suck it up when you're already overboard and pull it back. And then, hey, that's weird. No, you're just changed because you've been with him. And when nobody's looking, you've surrendered. You've been on your knees. You got that little piano playing and you're just talking to him and you're for real and you're serious. You're either out of your mind and this thing ain't real and you ought to get a hobby, or he's real and he's revealing himself in the secret place and he's rewarding you in the open. What's that mean? You're seeking him in the secret place. What's your reward in the open? Him. So then when stuff comes and stuff happens and you get squeezed, he's your response. He's your only way because he's the. Whew. So now I'm not on a road. I'm on the road. And I understand why I'm here, Van. I understand why mercy woke me up today. Mercy woke me up and gave me one more day to pursue looking more like him. Not to have everything go my way. Not for people to treat me right. Are you kidding me? The more you need people to treat you right, the more you're sure they're not. And then you feel sorry for yourself and you make them your reason for not believing. I've counseled countless people who say, well, my spouse, well, that woman, I don't even know. Well, see, I'm like, stop. Why are you letting your wife decide you? And don't even try to tell me you love her. No, I'll talk straight to you when the door's closed. I've asked spouses to leave the room so they didn't power play my words because I had to need to really straighten something out. I'd say, excuse me, ma'am, could you just step out of the room? Close the door behind you, please. And I'll say, sir, I'm not your judge and I don't own you and you don't have to sit here if you don't want, because you don't owe me a thing either. But I challenge you to man up and listen to truth for about 3 minutes. I've never had a man punch me. I've never had a man jump up and walk out. But I've watched a lot of grown men cry. Because we ain't playing. Jesus is real, and he shed his blood on the cross, and he got beat again and again and again and again to put his life in you. And you got to sit there and religiously toy it around and throw it around and make it all about what your spouse did and how you did and not even believe anything that he paid for. I'm going to call you on it. At least you live religious your whole life and have a tragic day when you stand before the light of who he is. That's how I counsel. I'm not, oh, I'm sorry they did that. You ain't getting that from me. I'm sorry they did that because it tells me they don't know who they are. But why are you letting what they don't see become your highest revelation when he's the light of the world? That's called the blind leading the blind. Makes sense to the heart, don't it? See, I'm talking in riddles. There ain't nobody in here that can't understand what I'm saying. So you're either in the position you got to say, wow, okay, I hear the power of that. Or, whatever, man. Yeah, okay, that works for you. Cool. Or, I don't want it. But ain't nobody sitting here can say, what are you trying to say? It's too simple. It's too clear. Children hear it. I got people tell me their 8-year-old says, can we listen to Pastor Dan? They can watch anything that night they want out of all their little videos on the thing that are, you know, past the grade of their parents. And they say, whatever you want, tonight's movie night. We're going to make some little popcorn. They say, I want to watch Pastor Dan. I got people telling me that their kids, 8 and 10, and 2 teenage boys are driving in the car. They're like, Dad, we're driving 40 minutes. Why don't you put Dan on? We'll just feed our understanding. Teenagers. And I'm talking like this because they want something real. They want some. They don't want another rule they have to follow. They want a genuine life they can live. They want to be strong when everybody else is weak. They want to believe when everybody else is believing lies. They don't want to be moved by everything and tit for tat and just be a product of the way life unfolded. They want to be a product of what he paid for. And if this cross is real, let's let it hit the mark of our lives. Not just be sentimental and make more pictures and paintings and ooh and celebrate him at what are they called? Creasters. Christmas and Easter. Creasters. Was that the Lord? We're not creasters. We're little Christ-like ones. He's the Christ. And he's in you, man. I see him. And he's the hope of the glory of God. Amen. In your life. You know what glory means? Any realized, seen, or manifested attribute of who God is the glory of God. You don't need a 3-day conference. Glory. We always think it's wind and rain and the glory of God is the manifestation of God. The realization of God. Watch. The Christ in you is the hope of making God seen and known and realized. So it really, no offense to you or Destiny Church, it really has nothing to do with your church service. It has to do with what you receive there and become there and sharpened and empowered to be there. Because as you go, the Christ in you is the hope of making God seen, known, and realized. And that's not strife in your home. That's not unreconciled conflicts and disputes. That's not going to bed in tension. That's not arguing and the need to be right. Sometimes you just got to be like Jesus and know you're not wrong and take the low seat. And just look for opportunities to cover love or a multitude of sin with love and let mercy triumph over what's deserving. And then all of a sudden the person realizes, because Holy Spirit's involved then. And all of a sudden the person realizes, man, I'm out of bounds. Man, I didn't need to. Oh man, now they're laying in bed crying and realizing you didn't react. You loved. And they know, you know they were wrong. And now without a word, but by your conduct, you win the heart of your spouse. Because the goodness of God leads men to change. That sure beats he said, she said. Well, I wouldn't if they didn't. Well, how come they always? Well, they started it. Well, why don't you talk to them? Did you ever see Jesus talk like that? Did you ever see Jesus just sitting like in scripture, like say on the Mount of Olives, and the sun just came up and he's up all night. He doesn't even sleep. It doesn't even sound like in the Bible he hardly ever sleeps. I love that. Just praying, heart full of life. He's not sleepyhead. He's full of life. And he's just up all night. It sounds like he's just praying. Did anybody ever see the section of scripture where he's sitting on the Mount of Olives and it's daylight and the sun comes up and Peter wakes up, stretches and looks, and there's Peter and a rock, and Jesus looks glum. He just doesn't look. He looks perplexed. And he sits beside him and says, what's the matter, Lord? Man, don't matter, Lord, me. Don't think you're going to preach to me this morning. I got a lot on my mind. Well, no, Lord, I've never seen your count. Well, you ain't in my shoes. Just back off, Peter, okay? You got enough of your own issues, man. I don't need you all up in my stuff early. You ain't never read this? In your school. And he says, you don't understand, man. Every day I'm trying to do right and I'm kind to people and they don't respect me. They don't appreciate it. Nobody ever says, thank you. I multiply the food. They track me down all the way across the sea in all their little boats and stuff. And they find me and they don't even care what I'm saying. They just want another meal. They're just using me like I'm here to serve men with blessings. But they could care less what I'm saying. Peter, you don't know what it's like to preach every day and hear their faults of mine. God shows me their faults and their faults ain't cool. And I'm saying one thing and they're thinking another. And I'm tired of it, man. And right now I just need my space. So hello, back off. And I just need some time. I'm not going out there. They're going to throng me. I just need to chill, Peter. So go. Just go. Take the boys for a walk. Go live in the flesh. You're good at it. Go, man. Go. Just go. Has anybody read that scripture? Why is it so normal to us? Why can we relate to the language? Why is the only reason I have all those examples in my heart is because of what I experienced my whole life? Because it's what we've done and said and been. But it's not what we were created to be. And the biggest trap is to think that's normal for us, just not normal for him. So we laugh because it sounds goofy when you make it Jesus, but it ought to be goofy when it's us because we're made for his image. Let me show you something. Oh my, Sunday morning. Help me, Jesus. You have no idea when your heart's full when the clock's in front of you. You just got to say what he's saying and know you said enough. I don't have to preach for an hour and a half today. I just got to say what God would say if Pastor Greg handed him a mic. That's why I kneel. That's why I pray. I say, Lord, I have no need to preach. I'm not getting my identity out of preaching. I'm not a traveling minister. This isn't my thing, my gig. This isn't my earning, my way of living. This is something I'm called to. This is something that God has raised up. I've never put myself on YouTube, never even dreamed of posting myself. And apparently I'm on YouTube. And I'm zero responsible, and I don't even know the people. Zero. I've never asked to go anywhere. I've never knocked on the door to preach. I've never asked for a penny. No one's ever paid for my plane ticket unless they try to sneak it into the honorarium that I never asked for. People just get behind me and support me because they know my life, they see my life, and they empower that. So if I'm empowered, I don't need you to cover all my expenses. It's not a ministry thing.
Come on.
It's not a money maker. It's not a business. It's the kingdom of God is at hand. It's not popularity. It's not prestige and esteem. Jesus made himself of no reputation. We ought to work as hard as we can to stay as low as we can, because no man has anything unless it's been given. There's no boasting in men. You wouldn't hear if he didn't speak. I wouldn't know about that girl if God didn't speak. Who's supposed to get the glory? Me for hearing or him for speaking? Come on. I got to read this and be done. I'm getting in deep. I got a lot in my heart. Romans 8. No, we're good. We're good. We're good. I come down here. It sounds like it rings when I get up there. I don't know if it's feedback podium. Is it clear when I'm down here? You don't hear that? When I get up there, it hums or something. Okay. I just hear it up there. I'm good here. I like being closer anyway. Your expressions are fun. I get close. Some of you look like you think I'm coming to get you or something. It's just fun. I'm looking around. Sometimes when I'm preaching stuff, it looks like a deliverance meeting. People are like, I'm like, oh. The other day I was preaching and everybody was the same. They were all like, it just freaked me out. I looked and everybody looked like a twin. They were all like, it was just beautiful. I just, what I'm seeing is beautiful. I'm seeing God's children. I kneel and I say, Lord, I have no need to preach. I have no need to preach. I get to preach. It's an honor and privilege. You sent me here. I believe you want me here. In 10 minutes, pastor's going to hand me, 15 minutes, pastor's going to hand me a microphone. If pastor handed you a microphone today, you know this room. You know it through and through. You know every soul. You know every life. You know every fabric of this room. What would you say if you had 45 minutes in front of these people? What would you say, Lord? Because you already know. Let that be the only thing that comes out of my heart. Say what you would say and do what you. And then I get up here and all the stuff comes. And you can tell I'm not thinking. Can you tell I'm on a roll? Or am I that studied? Am I that well practiced? Did I preach this 1,000 times since 2 a.m? I didn't even think about what I'm going to say. Never even crossed my mind to think about what I'm going to say. I just want to say what he's going to say. And then when I get up here, words just come like a flood. And you can tell they're not pre-practiced. And you can tell I'm not waiting to think. They come almost faster than I can speak. It's amazing and it's fun.
Happens all the time. I'm just going to keep it that way because he told me that way. Years ago, he said, I'm going to let you speak in front of many people. I'm going to put revelations of my love and righteousness in you. He said, but I'm asking you this one thing. Don't ever, he told me this, don't ever read your Bible to preach a sermon. He said, only ever read your Bible to know me. And only ever speak out of who I am in your life. And that'll carry weight. Yeah, I feel that. That's what he told me.
So that's what I do.
I got about 4 minutes. Watch this. We know in verse 28, we know of Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for the good. That doesn't mean God did everything that's happening. He's not behind it. Like people say, well, he allowed it. We need to get out of that theology. It's the most dangerous, damaging theology. He gave the earth to the children of men. We're supposed to live without fear. He put the power of death and life in our tongue. He gave us the authority of the name of Jesus. He told us to pray without ceasing. He gave us so much on the earth. And then when everything happens, we put God at his administrative desk and teach him as if he's a thumbs down, thumbs up emperor. Do you know that everything that happens isn't the will of God? See, the further south I travel, the more heretical that, the more blasphemy that phrase is, and people just put devil horns on you. No. People are reaping what they sow a lot of times. Sometimes God's willing something and people are speaking something else and they're reaping the fruit of their lips and their stomach is full of the fruit of their lips. God is saying on the cross, you're valuable, and you're believing you're not. Now your life has lived up to the low level in which you see yourself. But the whole time God said, you're valuable. It's not God's desire or will that any man perish, any man destroy, but some people make that choice. It's God's desire that all men are saved and all men are filled with the knowledge of truth. But not everybody's saved and not everybody's filled with the knowledge of truth. Stop telling me that everything that happens is the will of God. He's not at an administrative desk calling the shots, killing your loved ones and letting some live. It's a perverted view of God. And then when people believe that, they try to honor him without seeing the goodness in that. And then it affects them and they can never draw close to him. I'll go as far as to say, I believe with the tape running, it's demonic deception because of what it produces. And it pulls people away from God instead of pulls people into God. Well, he allowed it. Stop it. He works all things together for the good. When things happen, he intervenes. Even if you make a mistake. Even I've seen parents get so condemned because their children are making choices. And the parent says, I know I did this to them because for years I've... And now they're condemned and reaping the fruit of their child, saying it's their fault. And all of a sudden there's no redemption and God's not merciful and he can't intervene. When are you ever supposed to put on condemnation? When are you ever supposed to throw in the towel and say, oh, well, we earned this. Well, brother, you made your bed, sleep in it. No, Jesus made a bed. And the sheets are clean. You ought to get in that one and get out of the dirty one.
Come on.
You ought to go sleep with the Lord.
Yes.
And that ain't weird. And you say, Father, I made some grave mistakes when that boy was young. And I know a lot of this is trying to manifest right now. Thank you for your mercy, your redemptive power. Your calling in his life is greater than the inability to mother him or father him when I was young. And God, I thank you that you are the one that redeems all things. Because that boy is called, there's seed in his life. And he is going to come to the knowledge of the wisdom of God. And I thank you. And all of a sudden, you stay productive. Your countenance stays good. And you go to work and you're still living Christ. Instead of beat down, condemned, and your whole story's revolving around the mistake your child's making. We sell so cheap. I pray that we see we're not for sale. We have one response, and it's always Christ. He works all things together for the good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, that's you and me, he also predestined. Don't miss this. He predestined us, the ones he foreknew. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among a whole bunch of us. Moreover, who he predestined, he called. Who he called, he justified. Who he justified, he also glorified. We're so scared of these words. They're in your Bible. How did he glorify you? By filling you with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead and seating you in heavenly places. And even though you've done wrong, he put a robe on you that acts like and shows like and looks like you ain't never done wrong. And though your sins were red as scarlet, you've been made white as snow. You got to put that on and wear that because that's designed to so shake and affect your heart that you want him and you love him and you'll surrender and follow a God anywhere that'll love you like that. Duh. This thing isn't just about being forgiven of the knuckleheaded things we've done. It's about becoming what he created us to be and putting on Christ. Anything less isn't Christianity. It's religion and tradition and men's theological arguments. It's a life transformed. It's old things passing away, all things becoming new. You have to put on Christ. And that's you believing. Watch this. What shall we say to these things? If God's for us, who can be against us? You're the only one that can be against you. By not believing the truth. You can say, well, I just feel guilty. Okay.
Why are you justifying that? Like, okay, so he forgives you. Why do you feel guilty? Well, I just feel bad. Stop. Get over yourself. Stop feeling bad and let him be Lord. Amen. So if you feel bad, your heart cares. So why don't you justify your heart by not feeling bad anymore and believing he forgave you what you felt bad about? And then be empowered to not do the thing again that you felt bad about. But as long as you feel bad, you'll wear that identity, and as a man thinketh, so he is, and now you'll do it again and affirm you're a mess. And then you'll cycle. We call it addiction. It's just deception. It's people not knowing who they are. It's the only reason addictive cycles are in people's lives, because they have low crust esteem and they don't value their life in Christ, so they live up to the low level in which they see themselves. Simple. It's God. It's God that's for us. Who can be against us? He did not, listen to Paul reasoning, he did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not give us all things freely through his son? All things what? Full vats and barns? Everything necessary to be conformed to his image. That's what he's talking about. Now you can have that, and I did this in the first service. You can have that if you want that. And I've asked the Lord a long time ago to empower me to preach clear that nobody can say what's he saying. And that when I'm finished, you have two choices. I hear what he's saying and I want it. Or I hear what he's saying, I'm just not that interested in wanting it. And that way it boils down to believer and not believer. The love of God would make it that plain. The love of God would come and bring light and let truth spring out of the earth and let light shine in the darkness. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to turn it over to this man of God. Father, I ask that we're inspired today, not just challenged, but truly convicted in a holy way. And I ask for grace to come on our lives and our hearts. I pray through this message, there's this instant reconciliation in people's lives, instant reconciliation in marriages. I pray that both spouses in this message, if they're sitting here and it hasn't been good like this, I pray they both have the ability to say, we ain't trying to make up for lost time. We're just starting now. We're just not looking back. We're going to start in present. We're going to live for things to come. We're done looking back. You don't owe me anything. I release you, love you, forgive you, and please release me. Let's go after God. I just pray that you restore marriages in this room. I pray if things don't look behind the scenes like they seem on the surface, that you restore that today. Man, I'm hearing that in my heart, that God wants some healthy homes and some healthy marriages. If you'll take the hand of your spouse right now, because you know I'm talking to you, and you'll just squeeze it. Why don't you, rather than pull your hand away from them, squeeze it back? And as squeezing it, you're saying, you know what? I hear this man, not for you. I hear him for me. And I believe what he's saying, and I'm going after God, and I love you. Let's do this together. Let's forgive one another, and let's go after God and live like nothing ever happened. We won't be in denial. We'll be in faith, and all things can be made new. Father, I ask that you heal marriages right now as they squeeze hands. I pray that you restore homes, give them wisdom in parenting, and I thank you for the redemption of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.